earlier and how things started to happen that suddenly we as the rock public could go see our favorites in person, in concerts, all these venues, these different places. Well, they did change because of change, that's why. But there was a promoter named Howard Stein, some of you may recall, when he was doing acts, and he found what was called the Singer Bowl at the World's Fair site in Queens. And what they found was that the Singer Bowl was a stadium-type affair that held 18,000 people. So during the World's Fair, they had exhibits and shows that they did from this stadium-type. It was an oval, so it was completely surrounded and in oval shape near the subway, near the elevated subway. And the different corporations had built these things at great cost, so they'd been there a number of years, and they kind of refurbished it, and it was the intention to do outdoor concerts in the summer. So where would you go? Because no one was thinking stadiums then or anything, because that was too big. But so Howard took a shot at this place called the Singer Bowl, and that particular summer of concerts, well, Janis Joplin, she's gone, I was there, and Jimi Hendrix, and I was there, and The Doors, and I was there, and a whole bunch of acts. And then right after that, it was almost as if the Singer Bowl was like a last concert venue or something. It was only that one summer that they used it for concerts, but wow, a lot of folks. So that place has definite memories for people in the rock world and those that went to the concerts there. And I remember Jim Morrison because I was the MC for that show, as I was for Hendrix too in Joplin. But Jim Morrison was in a dressing room, and he came out of the dressing room to go on. Now, the stage was a boxing ring that they put in the center because that way everybody could see the act. But actually, it was pretty hard to get to and kind of difficult with crowd and so forth because there were no stanchions or anything to separate the crowd. So maybe there would be trouble. Not really, because Morrison walked out of the dressing room, fell flat on his face, and passed out. He was drunk, and he hit his face, and I thought he was either going to die or definitely there wasn't going to be a concert. As a son of a gun, like somebody would write in a song, he popped back up and kind of staggered around in his brown leather outfit and moved around. They grabbed him, and he said, I'm okay. So they took him up, and he looked like a young Robert Mitchum with the eyes moving around and kind of wild, like, I'm going to get on there, I'm going to perform. And so he got propped, and there he went, man, right up into the boxing ring, and he started performing. In one of the songs, he gave a line, which I cannot repeat, and 18,000 people went, whoa, because nobody had ever heard that in a concert before, of what two people might do to each other. And then at another time, it got raunchy, so people started throwing chairs and throwing stuff into the ring. And I was under the ring, folks, so I'll tell you the truth, because the stuff was flying all over, and there was going to be a riot, but I had in my hand a microphone. Wow. So I said, we restore order, or there's no more music. Everybody return to their seats, or the concert is over, and that's the end of that. So you make sure, if you want to finish this concert, that you get back where you're supposed to be. So about 5 minutes later, everything returned to normal. And Morrison continued, and from that concert, he ended up going south, and the second or third stop was Miami, where he decided to expose himself and got busted there on stage and did a couple of crazy other things. And that was a summer of the outdoors, finally, outdoor concerts. Yeah, there, Hendrix, Joplin, and The Doors, and whew. Let's listen to some.
Strange days, come, baby. I'm coming to get you.
I put Rascals in there because they were great New York heroes and were stars of the Singer Bowl shows with, as I mentioned, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, The Doors. And a lot of people we lost were all there that one summer at the Singer Bowl in Queens. And Scotso was there. And some of those things I like to remember for the better parts, and some of them, truthfully, show you that some of our people didn't have to go. They kind of help themselves, and it's a tough thing, but we learn as we go along, and some of the things that happened here are on the fun side, and some are on the strange side, all are true, everything that's happened here, and just part of a few of the real fast things that happened in a course of 25 years, sitting here on WNEW-FM in New York, and knowing that I have done and certainly been part of more things than most people are able to read about in a lifetime. And that's something, again, more coming up.
Hey, everybody is to you. No one aware does it like you do. But coming through, yeah, it's clear. You're the best and what's your fear? Nothing beats a bear,
but wiser.
Nothing beats a bird. Ooh, yeah. Whoa, whoa.
You know what you want? The pure natural taste of Budweiser. The ice-cold king of beers that's like you, like no other. Pretty cool, huh?
Nothing beats a Bud.
Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
St. Louis.
Hey, Topsy, I went to buy a camcorder, and no matter where I went, they tried to bamboozle me on the advertised model. They tried to hustle me into buying some cockamamie brand I never heard of. I'm tired of people insulting my intelligence.
Forget about it. How about an RCA or Sony camcorder for $497?
Sounds great, Topsy. I'm going to go to your so-called competition, work them over, get their best price, and then see if you can beat it.
Forget about it. I'll beat that best price or give you a $100 cash reward on the spot.
Hey, Topsy, I'm coming down to buy that Sony camcorder for $497. Tonight's my anniversary, and I want to make some home movies.
Hey, forget about it. Can I come over?
Get to Tops in Secaucus, Edison, East Hanover, and Lakewood, New Jersey, and now in Hawthorne, New York, on Route 9A in Westchester County.
Forget about it. You gotta be happy at Tops. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Need some gift-giving ideas for Christmas? Visit Parian & Sons in Clifton, New Jersey. They have a large selection of fine jewelry, watches, and diamonds for you to choose from. Parian & Sons is a jewelry store you can trust. An example of this is their diamond lifetime guarantee. Parian & Sons will buy back your diamond at full purchase price for any reason forever. That's right, you get back whatever you pay. Now, you may hear ads by so-called importers and wholesalers offering 70% off. Well, any store can sell poor quality diamonds at 70% off, but quality of Parian & Sons jewelry is unsurpassed, and it's never marked up past its value. That's why they'll buy back your diamond forever. You see, diamonds aren't forever. Only quality diamonds are forever. So visit a jewelry store you can trust. Parian & Sons, celebrating their 71st year in business. Located at 258 Dayton Avenue in Clifton, right in Botany Village. Call Parian & Sons at 201-546-3718. That's 201-546-3718. Merry Christmas from Parian & Sons, Clifton, New Jersey.
Ever since I started showing the Canon Bubblejet 200 printer on the radio, it appears that sales are going out of sight. No pun intended, of course. But why this sales phenom, and why now? Well, the people at Canon would like to believe it's marketing genius. But from my point of view, they've overlooked the obvious fact that millions have seen the Bubblejet with their own eyes here on the radio. They've been able to see for themselves why its print quality has been compared to that of a more costly laser printer, and why the Bubblejet 200 has been reported to be not just quieter, but up to 44% faster than any printer in its class. Now, I'm told that there are still a lot of you who have yet to see the Canon Bubblejet in action, either here or in person. Well, you can always visit your nearest Canon dealer and ask to see the printer millions have seen on the radio. Indeed, you should never buy something sight unseen in this world, including a Canon Bubblejet 200.
At the Food Emporium, you'll find assorted varieties of Poland Spring water. Pick up three 33.8-ounce bottles, just $2 all week, just for you.
Hi, Scott Muni. Our 25th anniversary. Exact day, December 18th. Matter of fact, that first December 18th, 25 years ago, the WNEW-FM Christmas party was to be held, and so it will be again tonight, which is kind of strange. But the first one, I got to tell you, I knew the man who hired me, period, and a couple of the air people, of course. But hey, you know, it's strange going to the party and say, who are you? I'm Homer Lowbridge, you know, or Clyde or somebody. But that changed around a bit. Now let's go. Let me tell you about some heavy duty folks. Page, Plant, Bonham, and Jones. Now, first of all, I'm going to leave Jones out of this because Jones was, when he did want something to happen, instigated Bonham, you know. Or you could get Page if he was able to, you know. But Jonesy was the quiet one, and he stayed out of trouble all the time. But he wanted to make sure someone caused it. Page, of course, has been the Romeo and the Don Juan of Led Zeppelin for years, and still wants to hold that title, still finds that quite easy as he does concerts and has women falling on the floor. Plant is arguably one of the greatest guitar players in the world. Page is. Plant definitely sings and takes care of himself and the ladies. Bonham, we lost. Now, recently, in the recent part of the 25 years, when Plant was doing the Honey Drippers, they flew me to London to introduce the Honey Drippers to the world. And so that was a fun session. I mean, they just had a whole lot of fun. It was Robert Plant and musicians. You could hear it was barrel house rock and roll and fun and all that. Then later, all of a sudden, I'm in London again at Abbey Road Studios, upstairs with Page and Rogers, for the firm, and introduce them to the world. So these guys know they're not going to get together because Robert definitely wants to keep going on his own solo career. Who wants them to get together more than you do? Jonesy. Because where's Jones been? He's been waiting for the reunion of Led Zeppelin. It did happen at Live Aid, and I was there. And that was some great magic. And young Bonham, of course, had stepped in. I think he knew sets and knew their music better than they did. And that was Jason. And anyway, now, I could tell you a lot of stories about Robert and not too many about Jonesy. Bonham we miss. And Bonham is another guy who, as so many, did that mix where the uppers and downers are combined in your body. And when your body rejects that, you throw up. But if you're not able to be alert and awake, then you choke to death. And that happened to a lot of people. And that's a tragedy. But anyway, here's Page, the very first interview. He's never done interviews and won't. But anyway, he came up to the studios of NEWFM with Scotso. This was a number of years ago. And he didn't want to. He was fighting it all the way. But he decided, I have to do one of these. And he knew me from, you know, meeting. So he decided, okay, I'll try it with Scott. Well, oh, boy. Anyway, we had an associate from the label with him who brought him to the station. And over the period of, say, roughly a half an hour, Page got less and less able to communicate and started talking a lot slower. And I was trying to figure out, because there was no smoke and there was nothing in the studio, but I knew he was going to a place I couldn't get to, no matter what I did. So I thought, hey, this guy is higher than the sky. And the next thing I know, he was lower than the ground. And toward the end of the last minute or two of the interview, he was on the floor. And fortunately, the guy from the label had the microphone down on the floor, and he was explaining to people how they should practice, young people who want to learn to play the guitar, how they should practice every day. And he got, and you should definitely remember to practice every day.